Yes, René says it's interesting, relevant topic. Yes, I believe so. And it's a topic where there still is a lot to be done. So there are interesting possibilities for influencing the organization, having good master projects and so on and so on. Okay, so I am back now. Looking at C-certs, they may be called different than C-certs because historically the first C-cert was called CERT, abbreviation for Computer Emergency Response Team. They are concerned with incidents, analyzing them, developing methods for response to them, supporting the constituents of the C-certs, and coordinating helps across the constituents of the C-certs, developing proactive services, tools, and so on and so on. Now, the situation for C-certs has been always difficult because it has been always an arm race, and C-certs tend to be underfunded. It's very difficult to compute a return on investment on security, and that results time and again in underinvestment. So the situation is, if you look at the literature, is that there has been a large increase in C-certs, especially those that provide outsourced services. And I mentioned already that if you visit regularly the Forum for Incident Response, first.org, then you will see a significant increase all the time, more and more joining. So there has been increase in CISAs, there has been developing of standards for CISAs, not at the ISO level and so on, but still internal. At least not that I know, maybe you know better, if there are standards for CISAs that have become international. Not only intention to develop generic CISAs tools, there was an intention, as I refer to in the literature that is back 2003. But what we have a chronic situation for CISAs that has been documented in two authoritative reports. The first one, just a few years after the first CISAT, the main conclusion in the report by Smith was C-certs are underfunded, understaffed, and overworked. And this you can use today and say it also. But if you look at the very long and authoritative report by Kilcrease and other authors that still can be found and downloaded from CERT Coordination Center, and that's the last report. You don't find a newer report, which I take it as a proof that nothing basically has changed, at least not at the general level. Of course, there are CSERTs that are performing better. But basically, you have the problem, increasing number of incidents, increasing number of vulnerabilities, increasing automation and speed of attacks in sophistication. So the CSERTs are heavy under stress. You have less time to react to new threats. This causes staff burnout, and that means also turnover, and that means that you have problems in keeping skilled people at CSERTs. And then there is the questions of organization, insufficient funding, which I mentioned, difficulties of computing return on investment in a way that allows the CSERTs to operate with slack. Often inadequate management support, difficulties in getting trained incident handling staff, and so on and so on. And the situation is still not under control. So some years ago, while I still had very close collaboration with CERT Coordination Center and the Software Engineering Institute at Carnegie Mellon, I got a very gifted PhD student who had several years experience from consultancy and system dynamics modeling, And we traveled together to Pittsburgh, visited Carnegie Mellon, and discussed with them several interesting problems, and we zoom in and see CERTs. But being in Europe, the solution was to cooperate with one of the co-authors of this report by Gilchrist. His name is Klaus Peter Kosakowski. He established a German CERT that is coordinating and serving security for German universities and German research institutions. And working together with Klaus Peter Kosakowski, who is now professor in Hamburg in IT security, we develop group model building exercises, and we are able to discover something very interesting on CERTs. Actually, we discover several issues. One of them you see in this lecture, and another one in the next lecture. So, the first one had to do with the huge increase in workload coming from the incidents, as you see here. While the staffing in the CERT remained increase a bit by a factor of two, the workload exploded. So this CERT, the DFN CERT, DFN stands for Deutsches Forschungsnetzwerk, German Research Network. As I mentioned, German universities and research centers. So this imbalance here was a key problem, and the first one that attracted our attention because it related to the need to conduct quality improvement to be able to stay afloat. But then we discovered another very interesting problem, which I will report in the next lecture. What we could do now, if you like, instead of my only lecturing to get you active, we could now insert some exercises. We could first look at your issues. William raised his hand, and after resolving his issues, maybe there are also issues that Runa has, we could look at two exercises that I have deployed today, and that is transforming, how to transform the Repenning-Sturmer model, which is generic, about quality improvement, to something more specific for a CERT. And then how to add more details so that it comes closer to a model that can be simulated. So does it sound like a good proposal? Okay, William says yes, and Bruni as well. Good, then let me see now what I have to do to get back the control here. How on earth do I get the control back? I see here only about sharing files. Ah, okay, I got it. So, good. What are your issues? What kind of problems do you have when it comes to modeling with archetypes? Okay. How can I help? You need more examples. First question is, have you seen, I gave you exercises to archetypes, and then I deployed the solutions. Have you had a look at the published solutions? I can now perhaps share them. something to compare the archetypes to. Mm-hmm. Yes. Real world. Well, the cases that I had in the exercises, they were extracted from the real world, but they were perhaps not so. They were also generic. I am a little bit unsure as to how I can help you. Yes. If the issue is align the archetypes with specific case in the world, then you will get the opportunity of doing so in terms of the examination project. So if you are able to create a solution from a case description, then you will get that, because the cases that I choose, or the ones that you can yourself select, they will be closer to reality. So, but if you want to be have a very specific case, then you enter a terrain where we will need data also to model. You will go beyond the archetypes. You will have to create simulation models. So in a sense, yes, Rune says, transform, interpret the text to the model, what the variables are, and to recognize all of them. Yes. Yes, that's the key. That's the key when you have a problem. I am afraid that in order to... William says, you tended to choose the wrong archetype. I am not sure that you choose the wrong archetype. You may have chosen, your reasoning may have led you to a different archetype, but if you can defend it, it can be used as well. So remember, archetypes, they are used to begin with to explore problems, to open up a discussion, and then the next step will be yes. Rune says that happened to him if he missed some variables. Yes. What Rune says is that he got the wrong feedback loop. This shouldn't happen even if you miss some variables, because the number of variables that you put in a loop depends on how specific you want to be. You can take big steps and simply have a feedback loop with two variables. If they are rightly chosen, then that's okay. Or you can add variables in between that makes the connections a bit shorter. But this shouldn't change the nature of the loop. So it's not so much about missing variables. I think it's more like the reasoning of the polarities. What I think it's important is that you exercise, that you do the exercises. Let me take the solutions that I offered, and let's have a look at them. Let's take the solutions. I am going to share now the PowerPoint slide with the solutions and have a going through that. So let me share files. add file, and then we look at the solve exercise to modeling security. One thing that I miss is the possibility of working together with you in developing an archetype. That's a bit difficult since you are not visible and I cannot see how you are working. But let's try and see if we can, at least by looking at some of these, get some advancement. So first of all, this procedure should be used as a template and be very strict as to first to stick to the intended consequence feedback loop. And then the key is to look for the action. The action is what is the intervention, what the management does to solve whatever problem there is there. And that's, you have to stick to that and don't do anything else until you are convinced that you hit on the action. And then, once you have it, that's the first piece in the intended consequence feedback loop. Then you have to ask, what is the desired outcome of this action? What is supposed, the intended action? The intended outcome of the action. So stick to that. And then what you should do is, in the case description that I have given you, they are there. So it's a question of reading it very carefully. You should then pause a moment and consider how you would if you are thinking of a reinforcing feedback loop but you don't know it yet. When you have a problem, you don't know if the if you are going to get a reinforcing or a feedback. Yes, if you want to let me see as to how we proceed. You have many questions, and I am a little bit unsure as how to do that. But let me now go to one of the examples, like this one here, and let's go through that, pass that, until we agree on how we select the action. So we have a case, and it says the organization has defined an ambitious goal to increase throughput. It says to achieve these resources are primarily allocated to closing the throughput gap while security is neglected. Let's look very closely at the information that you have here. There are two things that are revealing. One, it's saying there is a goal to increase throughput. The second one, it says there is a throughput gap. Why is this revealing? Stop here. So don't go further. Let's stay here at this here. Goal is a very revealing word. And closing the throughput gap is also very revealing. So I want you to stop thinking about anything else and use this information, because that's a crucial information. There is a goal and there is a throughput gap. What does it mean? Do you have suggestions? Or word it a little bit differently. In principle, during a sales candidate variables, yes, if you focus on throughput, but I want you to focus on the word goal and the word gap. The two are related, because if you have a goal that you want to achieve, then you will compare your current stage of something with a goal, and then you will have a gap. So goal and gap, they are two versions of the same thing, and they are revealing something very important that should help you to start looking in the right direction. Do you know what I am meaning? Rune says, okay, that something is missing. Yes, the gap means something is missing. But let me ask the question a little bit more directly. What kind of feedback loop will you expect if you have a goal and if there's a gap that tends to be closed? Will you expect a reinforcing or a balancing feedback loop? William says reinforcing. Rune? Rune opts for a balancing. Okay, so let me take now Vensim. I will close this. I will open Vensim, and I would like you to work together with me as to this issue. So how do I do now? Share files. Share application, and just an application. Let me see what happens if I take the application. No, I think I have to choose the other thing. Okay, share application. I'm still learning. Entire screen, share, and this one. New model. Okay. So there is a goal, and the goal was for throughput. So we do need a variable for the goal. Let's click here, and this goal we can call throughput goal, but typically we call it desired, and then what we desire is the throughput. Okay, so we have that. And the issue is that the organization wants to achieve throughput. So throughput is the desired outcome. Throughput is the outcome. So we can put it here below. And you know, that there is a gap, so we put it here. And then we can define the throughput gap through this, an arrow from here to here, and an arrow from here to here. So this is the information that I wanted you all to focus upon, that the organization has as desired outcome increase the throughput, and there is a goal. The goal is this, the desired throughput, and there is a gap which results from comparing these two. Now as to the polarities, if you increase the goal, everything being equal, you increase the gap, so you have a positive polarity. If the throughput increases because of the actions taken, then the throughput gap will diminish. So more throughput, less throughput gap. So that means you have a negative polarity. Okay. So what is the action that is taken to achieve this? If you read the description, then you will see that is resource allocation. So we put the action on top. It is not sure that I am using exactly the same words as I have in the solution that I published, but the logic should be the same. And what is the motivation for the resource allocation? The motivation is because there is a gap, you allocate resources. And what is the polarity? The greater the gap is, the more resources the management needs to allocate to close the gap. So the polarity is plus. And what is the consequence of allocating resources on throughput? It will influence the throughput, and the more resources you allocate, the greater the throughput. So the polarity is plus. So I started by focusing on the goal, and from that expressed that there is a gap. And since the goal is about throughput, what you compare is the actual throughput with the desired, with the goal, with the desired throughput. And that was this part. Then the logic is allocate resources to increase throughput. Now, if you look at this feedback loop and walk through this, you see it is a balancing loop. But actually, what I tried to point out right from the beginning is the very moment you hear about a goal and a gap to close the goal, then you can bet this is going to be a balancing feedback loop. I wanted to alert you to that. Of course, this is the initial hypothesis that you corroborate, that you prove when you finish. You can see it's balancing. If the gap increases, you increase your resources to increase your throughput, which diminish the gap. So this is balancing. Or as Rune, I believe, put in his remark, count the minus signs. There is only one minus sign in this feedback loop. And that means you get a balancing feedback loop. Okay? So let's go back to our conversation. Did that become a bit clearer now? Big silence on the other side. Now, William says he is able to follow the logic but not reproduce it from scratch. That needs some effort on your part. You need to exercise that. It is the metaphor. That's a bit of the metaphor of that I saw. If you are watching Holmenkollen race, then that's very enjoyable, but you cannot reproduce it unless you do it by yourself. So you need to exercise. Now William says, if that is the crux of the paper, you are in serious trouble. I don't believe that you are in serious trouble yet, because I have the experience. I have taught similar courses for many, many years, since 2005 here at Jøvik, and even longer in Agder and in other universities. And I've never seen, I never experienced that dedicated students. Yes, but I've never seen that students fail to deliver a good model. Of course, in the beginning, it takes you a little bit of time. William says, learning the language. I think it's more like exercising it. And the first steps, they are crucial. Because they help put the things in correct order. We could look now again back at the solution. Let me share that again. Okay, we were looking at this here, and I emphasized the importance of recognizing every word. And here, when you see goal, a bell should ring, because that puts you, should put you immediately on in the track of thinking in terms of a balancing loop. It's not sure that I show it very clearly here. Wait a moment, what is the exercise? Solution to exercise one. Where is it? Yes, here. Yes. Yes, you see, it's basically the same thing. I put here desired throughput. Here's the throughput, you have a gap. And then the first feedback loop is about closing the throughput gap. I saw a remark now by Rune. Let me see what was the remark. Yes, Rune says that it's possible to cooperate in the assignment. Yes, you can. I encourage that very much, that you have a discussions. Let me add one thing more. Also, when you are doing the examination paper, it is legal, it is allowed to talk to each other. In fact, I encourage that, because my main purpose is that you learn. And I see the examination project also as an opportunity to learn. And it is actually a situation where you are most motivated to perform, because that counts as examination. So is this in conflict with being examination? No, it is not. Or it doesn't, or let me say, it doesn't need to be. It would be if you copy-paste. But I require that every examination report, every word should be written by yourself. Every figure that you put in should be done by yourself. Unless you are taking or adapting other things. No, but even if you're adapting things, you shouldn't just copy-paste a picture. You should do it by yourself. So, and you will see in the description of the examination project, of one of the examinations project that I have already uploaded, that I put this, I make this point. You are allowed to talk to each other and collaborate and so on, as long as what you deliver has been all done by you. Every word every figure, every archetype, every model, and so on, you have to do it. So you can go to discuss, chat, and so on, as long as in the end you do it. And this will give you opportunities to learn and so on. Okay, if you look now at this example, once you got the first feedback loop correctly, then the issue was if the company is giving priority to closing the throughput gap, security suffers. Then you have the unintended consequence, and that is that the allocations to security decrease, which will over time increase security incidents, which will over time cause production problems, which will over time hit on the throughput. And if you follow the logic, you should always consider each link separately. So what happens if you allocate more to production and forget about security? You get less resources to security. Also because you have limited resources. Now, less allocation to security will increase security incidents, so you have negative polarities. More security incidents will increase production problems, positive polarity. More production problems will cause downtime and so on, and decrease throughput. And then you close the loop, which you follow like this. How many variables you put in between, that's up to you. I put here 3, but you could here, let me give you an example by going again back to Vensim. I will skip allocation, production problems and go from security incidents directly to throughput and see what happens. Okay? So let's do that. Let me go here to save this. So we put here allocation to security. I am not using exactly the same words, but that doesn't change the logic. So the idea is you have limited resources. The more you are employing throughput, the less to security. So this must have negative polarity because they are in competition. Now, what happens to security incidences if you are having less and less resources to security? What happens is that this influences this. And the logic will be more resources, less security incidents, so this must have negative polarity. And what happens, how do security influence throughput? Well, you could put downtime in between, or you could just close like this and argue that the more incidents, the less throughput, so that has negative polarity. There is some time delays here that we could put. I will go back to your raise hand in a moment. And so on and so on. So I think I heard somebody raising the hand. Let me see. Oh, you couldn't see Vensim. I thought I had shared that. That's silly. I must have done something very silly. I think I had shared the application. Perhaps I did something silly. Okay, sorry about that. That's what I draw. What I can do is go back one step by step. Okay. No, let me see. I did something wrong. I will start from the beginning so that you can see my logic. Okay. So what I said is let me first check. Are you seeing now the application? No. That is strange. You see the solution page. Let me see. Okay, I go back. Okay, I think I understand now. I have to stop one to be able to do the other. Sorry, I'm still learning this. Let's try again. Share application, entire screen, Venceme. Do you see now Venceme? Not yet. Share. I simply don't understand what is happening. Do you see Venceme now? Yes. Okay, good. I simply don't understand what happened. Good, you are seeing it now. Then the logic is that you have always limited resources in the organization. So you are employing resources as throughput. This costs, if you increase this, you get less to security. So we put here resources to security. And have an arrow going from this to this, and the polarity is negative. What happens to security incidents? We put in here. It says it exists. Then let me call it something differently. We have a problem with Venceme that I cannot explain to you now. Let's call it incidents. Okay? So you have this connection. The more resources, the less incidents, so you have negative polarity. And there is some time delay until they show up. And now, the more incidents, the less throughput caused by the problems that incidents cause downtime and so on. So how is the link? More incidents, less throughput, negative polarity. Delay mark and negative. So let me now see if you are raising your hand. I cannot see it directly here. Perhaps I can see it if I make it a bit smaller. No, I cannot see.